God prepared for himself someone who could prepare his way when he came. And that was John. As I think I've said, in the Eastern Rite, on either side of the holy door, that's the entrance to the sanctuary. Remember in those churches, the door is closed, you know. On either side, there's an icon. One side is Our Lady, and the other side is John the Baptist. John is the old covenant. Our Lady is the new. And they both prepared the way for Jesus. Mary, because she carried him in her womb and gave birth to him and then formed him as every mother forms a child. You see why she had to be perfect? His human nature was going to be affected. His understanding, his human understanding of the Father by the people he met as a child. And that was Mary and Joseph, and that's the reason why. And the church always says that, you know, about the need for a family, a mother and a father, to form their children. So the first text just talks about this coming servant, who is Jesus. And then in the book of Acts, the second reading, we have this speech of Paul's. See, God raised up David as king of God. Of him God testified. I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And so now he came and he started to preach. And everybody said, "Whew, look at this holy guy. He's out there in the desert all the time, and he's praying, and he's fasting, and he confronts King Herod in his adultery, and he's, maybe this is the Messiah." And he said, "Behold, who do you suppose, what do you suppose that I am? I am not he. Behold, one is coming after me, and I am not worthy to unfasten the sandals of his feet." Now, John at that point also says what? "The one who has the bride rejoices as a bridegroom. I'm the friend of the bridegroom. I rejoice just to hear his voice." So while he's a powerful figure and an intrepid man and died a martyr, he had this model of affection for Jesus, the way a man should love Jesus and prepare his way and serve him and be glad to be in his company. And see, and then we have this the birth of John. Mary was there. And probably stayed for the circumcision, because it's always 8 days after. And so then they said, "What's his name going to be?" "Well, Zechariah." "No, John." And at that moment, because he obeyed, the bond of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke. And then in the text, it gives us what he spoke. "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, he has come to his people and set them free," and so forth. "He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of David." He's proclaiming the identity of the child in Mary's womb. And then, here's this priest prophesying. Here's this elderly woman, way beyond the age of childbearing, giving birth to a nice, bouncing, healthy baby boy. And they're saying, "What do you think this all means?" You see? All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be?" For surely the hand of the Lord was with him. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the desert until the day of his manifestation to Israel. Now, where was he in the desert? I mean, he's a child. Probably at Qumran, where they found the scrolls, the Dead Sea Scrolls. There was a whole monastic community there. And they probably, he was a monk in the desert, and they formed him. And as he was being formed, the Holy Spirit was forming him to go now and proclaim and point out the Messiah to everybody. But notice, and this is very important, the king was living in an adulterous relationship. And that gives bad, that sets an example for everybody. The king can do it, I can do it, right? And to stop that immorality, he publicly confronted the king. And that's what cost him his life. The king would have tolerated it, but not Herodias. And he died a martyr because he cared about the people. He spoke up. That's a sin. That's not your wife. And so he died.